Hare Krishna. Now we will request. Thank you very much, Jagatarini. And I do remember, really, from the last so many years, these evening katas where you somehow unfold the text or bring the text to life is maybe not the right word, but when you talk, it's like in Germany we had these books as children. They were stand-up books. You open them and then there was a castle all of a sudden, or a forest with tigers, or a fortress often. So I know when you in the evening open the Bhagavatam, then all of a sudden everything becomes three-dimensional and we can understand and even enter deeply. So this is a very nice session. It's always in the evening, I remember. We will now turn to Burijan Prabhu and request him to share with us the subject. When I read the announcement, I was really thinking, wow, now I can speculate what it is about. Distress, hope, cruelty, prayers and the seeds of Krishna's joyous Vrindavan Leela. Wow, now let me think what this means. So I think you will give us some hint, clarity or hint.
At least a hint.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vatalesha Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pacharani Vasesha Sanyavadi Prasthati Desatari. Om Aginitam Vendasya Tanasana Salakaya Chaksusana Vatana Sehna Tasma Sri Guru Vedana. Sri Chaitanya Manavishnam Stapitam Vena Vatalesayam Vipakadamayam Vatati Sapanantika. Once the couple to the star creepers in the way of the Sapati Temple. I moved to Vrindavan approximately 35 years ago. It only happened by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, directly the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. He actually told me when we were in Hong Kong that after you have been preaching for 10 years, you can go and live in Vrindavan. And then I forgot about it. but then suddenly I found myself living in Vrindavan. And then at one point I counted up the time, and it was 10 years, 3 months. So the words of such an exalted Vrindavan person, worshipper of Mahaprabhu, servant of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was so powerful. And when I arrived in Vrindavan, very soon after that, I began studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. And while studying the Bhagavatam, something magically almost hit me, or rather, as I was studying it, some of the magic of the Bhagavatam came through. And the magic was that there is a progression of story and there's a progression of philosophy. So while I was reading, I saw that it was all interconnected and it was going in a particular direction. And then I've been studying the Bhagavatam ever since. And I wrote something on the first, second, third, fourth canto, and then I've prepared something on the fifth, sixth, and seventh canto, and I'm moving forward gradually, and I saw that the Bhagavatam is really clear in what it is doing and what its goal is. The goal of the Bhagavatam And the path that the Bhagavad Gita is teaching is the path to Sri Vrindavan Dham. It is bringing us to the perfection of consciousness, the perfection of our existence, the soul's perfection, to Sri Vrindavan Dham. It purifies, it gives medicine, it provides the proper concepts and instructions so how we can progress on the great journey of our existence, of the soul's existence to Vrindavan. Everything is there in the Bhagavatam. So for the last few years, we've been, the devotees have very much been speaking on the Bhagavatam and speaking on Krishna's pastimes. And I decided to speak on the first chapter, the beginning of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And I thought, yes, I'll speak about Krishna's birth pastimes, his in Mathura. And then I would bring it to the point, my decision was I would bring it to the point where Krishna actually enters Vrindavan. And I was completely unaware of how powerful and how much information and how much purification and how many topics are covered in this. And in that sense, this is my classes that are 5 classes, it really should be 20 classes or perhaps more. And what makes it even more difficult from my point of view to present is that almost every person who's ever been to a Janmashtami celebration in ISKCON thinks that they already know the story of Krishna's birth. And there's generally a children's drama about it, and Vasudeva is on the chariot with Devaki and Kamsa's there, etc., etc. And then there's the voice in the sky, Kamsa, you are such a fool. So everyone already knows the pastime. So the last thing I was going to do is make a title that says Krishna's birth pastimes, because then everyone, I already know that, you know, Kamsa, you are such a fool. So I had to be very clever. Oh, I tried to be clever and get everyone to wonder what in this world is this title talking about. But this is actually what happens in this there's distress right in the beginning. And then there's a hope. I won't tell you how it traces. And then there's the cruelty of Kamsa. And then there's the prayers, so many prayers, so much philosophy. And the seed of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes and the different levels of consciousness are all described in these chapters, the different levels of consciousness and what to do to develop the consciousness that will actually bring us to Vrindavan. This is all that's described in there. It's very methodical. There's the prayer. Raise your hand if you've ever read the prayers of the demigods to Garbha Stuti, it's called, to Krishna the womb. Raise your hand if you've read that. Now raise your hand if you can say anything about it, that understand what it's actually about. But it's so powerful what they're saying. Or Vasudev's, his instructions to Kamsa. We've read this. But what is he actually saying? Kamsa is the most amazing person in this pastime in one sense, because first, he's trying to be good. Then the devatas tell him with a voice in the sky that you're a fool for trying to be good and too much. What is going on here? And then he flips. He's good, he's bad, he's good, he's bad, he's good and bad. And they talk about fate, how you can't avoid your fate. That means you can't avoid your karma. But is Krishna behind this? Is it the same for devotees and non-devotees? So all these topics are really discussed, and it ends in the most joyous way. And in the midst of all these tensions, Krishna enters Vrindavan, and everything is a joyous festival, and we actually get a glimpse of this, of the most beautiful, most attractive little boy, and how much the residents of Vrindavan, how much they love him with such purity that it is not exhibited anywhere else. And that's where the Bhagavatam is leading us, from the beginning to the smiling face of Krishna, is leading us to develop the purity of, to have the most intimate relationship, the most intimate and trusted, loving relationship with the all-attractive, all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how to develop that is described throughout the Bhagavatam, but in these first four chapters of the 10th canto. So there's a dissertation on these different levels of consciousness. Please come and pray that that Giriraj and the Vaishnavas, if they give me the strength to be able to speak this in a way that is meaningful to the devotees, and then perhaps Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. Okay? Thank you, Hare Krishna.